we are sure at Daleville Christian Church, if you know what it is that you believe, then you will be able to live what it is you believe. And even the message will touch on that today. But it's the reason that we begin and make sure that we share our affirmation of faith, which we make each week. We have a different one each week. Some 20 places in the Bible lend themselves to an affirmation of faith. This one from Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. May we be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. God's word for today is from the letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Where the apostle writes, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. All this month at Daleville Christian Church, we are celebrating the Protestant Reformation, now 500 years old. This month marks the 500th anniversary of the beginning of a protest that Martin Luther, with many others, began as they were formally protesting against the church. We have seen this month that Martin Luther's protest centered on the Bible, God's Word. We are concluding our 500th anniversary celebration today, and in keeping with the original Christian intention for November 1st, where we get the name for Halloween, All Hallows' Eve, October 31st, the day before All Saints' Day, we begin today celebrating the saints, which are all of us, the followers of Jesus, past and present. The first followers of Jesus at Daleville Christian Church brought their Bible with them across the land and formed this church when they settled here. Their names are here on our All Saints banner. They were glad to read and share the Bible, so today we look to the Bible, but we look to the Bible on a topic suggested by you, one of the saints, one of the fellowship of believers. And so the message today is a sermon the saints suggested. This week's message, by request, I believe the question is, can you fall away from the Lord? There's a companion question that is similar. Can you fall away from salvation? And we might add the question this way, can a believer lose heaven? These are good questions. The Bible does cover these questions. However, the Bible does not cover these questions neatly. I want you to understand that. There's no quick answer to these questions. So, strap in for an hour-long sermon. No, I'm just kidding. It is going to be Halloween. You were frightened there for a minute, though, weren't you? But there is no quick answer to these questions. We are not the first believers to wrestle with these questions. The church throughout history has had to answer these questions. We will see some examples of the early church of the apostles and what the apostles said. Did I mention no quick answers? That there were some 20 Bible verses I might have chosen to look at today? So let's go to the Bible, God's Word. Jesus himself mentioned those who fall away from him. Luke 8:13, also Matthew 13:21. They on the rock, Jesus is telling a parable story. He's talking about seeds that have been planted, or in the ancient world, they were strewn across the ground. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word of God with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Mark's gospel has that this way. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Jesus even told his own disciples they would fall away, and they did. But no one believes that the disciples or the apostles lost their salvation or lost their throne in heaven because they fell away. Why does no one believe that? Because the disciples came back. Jesus went to them, and they came back, and Jesus gave them further instruction. Jesus even gave instructions so that the disciples would not fall away after Jesus left the earth. So I guess that we may answer the first question, can a person fall away from Jesus? And the answer is yes, they can. A person can stop following the Lord. John chapter 6, verse 66 tells us, from this time, many of Jesus' disciples turned back and no longer followed him. But that begs the even more important question, doesn't it? What does it mean to fall away? Is falling away permanent? We have already answered that, haven't we? The disciples came back to Jesus. Jesus received them, even though all of them had forsaken Jesus and fled when he was arrested. Peter even denied Jesus at his trial. Yet Peter was forgiven and given a special mission by Jesus: feed my sheep. We know the end of the stories of almost all of the apostles, how most of them died because of their faith in Jesus. Judas, an early follower of Jesus, was lost to the plans of the evil one. But what about other believers who fell away from the teachings of Jesus? We have several descriptions of those who appear to be in trouble in their faith. Here are the descriptions that are used in the Bible. They made a shipwreck of their faith. Sounds serious. A shipwreck usually put you in the water, and many people in the ancient world could not swim, so drowning was a real possibility in a shipwreck, although the Apostle Paul himself states that he survived a shipwreck, and not just one, but survived three of them. And then that verse in 1 Timothy chapter 1, which mentions a shipwreck of the faith of the followers of Jesus, this descriptive picture of the faith of two men named Hymenaeus and Alexander. However, that description is not meant to be a permanent state. The apostle believed that it is possible for punishment to bring those two men back into the fold of the church. Excommunication, expulsion from the church, was a punishment intended to bring a person back into the church. They must be outside the church for a time, outside the grace and gifts of the church for a time, until they would repent of whatever separated them from the church, whatever excommunicated them from the church, whatever expelled them from the church, and they would be outside the church for a time until they had repented, and then they could be welcomed back into the church. So again, it appears that a person can be way off base with regard to faith, but that does not mean that the game is over, if I may use an analogy from Major League Baseball. You can be off base, you can be tagged out, you can be out, you may be on the bench and in the dugout, faith-wise, but the game is not over. The runner who is called out is not ejected from the game, but may continue to play the game until the end of the game. So it appears it is possible for those who have fallen away and made a shipwreck of their faith to come back. And the other references for falling away and restoration are listed for you in the sermon notes. But we have another example from the book of Acts, Ananias and Ananias's wife, Sapphira. In the book of Acts, we read that Ananias had promised the Lord and the church to give all the money from a sale of some land to the church. In this case, give the money directly to the apostles. And then Ananias changed his mind and didn't bring all the sale money to the apostles. And so the Bible records, Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God." And when Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. The same thing happened to Mrs. Ananias. But did they lose heaven as followers of Jesus? The Bible does not tell us, nor do we read of anyone else dying as a result of lying to God. The Apostle Paul himself wrestled with this question of losing salvation. Paul was concerned for his brothers and sisters in Judaism. After all, Paul's people were chosen people, destined, they believed, destined for salvation. But with some Jews rejecting Jesus, Paul wondered, how will they be saved? He believed that as chosen people, they should be saved. But as a group, they appeared to reject Jesus. Hear what the apostle wrote. Romans chapter 2, verse 5 and following, "But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile, for God does not show favoritism." And do remember that the Apostle Paul's letter is to the believers and the faithful in the churches of the city of Rome. So the question may be answered by this. If a person falls away, what is it they are falling toward? Have they turned from the way of Jesus to take up another way? Or have they misinterpreted the faith? In either case, whether they have forsaken the faith and pursued another way or missed the proper teaching, turning back around to Jesus is still possible. However, anyone who has forsaken the way of Jesus and intends to forsake the way of Jesus cannot expect to receive heaven. Now, let me interject another possibility because Scripture mentions it. Are there levels of heaven? The great poet Dante believed there were different levels of heaven. The Apostle Paul spoke of seeing a third heaven. That implies that there are two more levels. Was the third heaven higher, or was the third heaven lower than the first or second heaven? Paul does not say. Is it somehow better to be in the first level of heaven, or is it better to be in the third level of heaven? And what difference could it possibly make if you are in heaven, first floor or third floor? I don't know. The Bible does not say. But I will give you an example of what Dante means. For Dante, the great poet, believed there were different levels of heaven. And I'll give you a possible interpretation for the followers of Jesus. You see, I had a friend on Facebook who was complaining that she had to go to the dentist. And she was writing about how bad it was to have to go to the dentist, and it was winter time. But did I mention that my friend lived in Hawaii? I was not going to give this friend any sympathy at all. Yes, you're going to the dentist in Hawaii. I wish I was going to the dentist in Hawaii. So, friends, if this is an accurate picture, will any of us care what level of heaven we are in, if we are in heaven? The poet Dante says, we won't care. We will be glad whatever is assigned to us, because that's the way it is in heaven. If you are in Hawaii and you live there, is the dentist chair all that bad a place? Two more places to look to answers to our questions in the book of Revelation and in Matthew. Endurance is discussed. The martyrs who endure the tribulation mentioned in the book of Revelation wash their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. But in the letters to the churches in the beginning of the book of Revelation, the Spirit says the churches that fail to turn around will lose their light. What can that possibly mean with regard to salvation and heaven? Again, perhaps it has to do with persistence in good or persistence in the things of this world. Jesus told this story, Matthew chapter 24. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, well, my master is staying away a long time. And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of, he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's a Bible verse that most people do not like to memorize. Matthew 24:51. So Jesus, in his own story, has placed before us two people with the same responsibilities to their master. The one servant faithfully performs his duties. The other betrays the trust of his master and indulges himself. And here I would emphasize that the trust the master has and the faith that the servants have is the relationship between master and servant, and it's a relationship that exists although the people are physically absent from each other. They are separated. The master is out of the house. The servants are in the house. So the faithful servant has kept that relationship of trust and faith. The indulgent servant has broken the relationship. As Jesus tells the story, the broken relationship is not restored. Let me add the Apostle Paul's words, Romans 8:5, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." Another version of the same verse, "For those who identify with their old nature set their minds on the things of the old nature, but those who identify with the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." And another version, "People who are ruled by their desires think only of themselves. Everyone who is ruled by the Holy Spirit thinks about spiritual things." And one more, "People who live following their sinful selves think only about what they want. But those who live following the Spirit are thinking about what the Spirit wants them to do." So Paul says that none of us can do what we want to do and also do what Jesus wants us to do. None of us can do whatever we want as a way of life and expect any rewards that come from life in the Spirit. And let me add an interpretation on this All Saints Sunday of the great Saint Augustine. Saint Augustine believed that we are either turning more to Jesus or we are turning more away from Jesus. As we continue to turn away from Jesus, we will eventually reach a point where we cannot turn back. As a person would continue to turn away from Jesus, eventually we reach a point where we cannot turn back. Do any of us know when or where that point is? Jesus' story said the servants did not know when their master would return and find them doing what the master left them to do. Have you ever had the opportunity to meet people who intended to get life insurance but didn't think the time was right? And then they die? How many people believe that someday they're going to do something? Someday they're going to do something about their education. Someday they're going to do something about their job. Someday they're going to do something about their health. Someday they'll do something about their relationship with their children. Someday they're going to do something concerning their spiritual life. But someday never comes. Paul and Jesus suggest unless you do something now or very soon, like this afternoon or tomorrow morning, although you shouldn't put it off, unless you do something very soon, eventually you will lose the power to do something. Paul and Jesus suggest unless you do something about it now, unless you do something about your spiritual life now, eventually, you will lose the power to do anything about it. Do something soon, or you will not be able to do something. Delay too long, and we will no longer be able to do anything about things of the Spirit. Live by your own way, and someday we won't even recognize God's way, let alone be led to follow God's way in Jesus. Jesus' words, "Follow me." Jesus accepts that you and I might fall off the trail of Jesus. We can get tired on the way of Jesus and sit down, but Jesus wants us to get right back on the way that Jesus sets before us. The letter of Hebrews suggests that you and I have a cheering section on the way to Jesus and the way of Jesus to keep us on the Jesus way. Hebrews 12:1, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," and he's speaking here of the saints, those who are passed away and those who are still living, "since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us." The way of Jesus is the race set before us. We are to run it. we are to persevere. This was the apostle's blessing, he understood, as he came to the end of his life. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And you too will finish the race. And you too will receive your reward. Amen.